Basically, I'm sure that's all I know. Well, basically, you guys, if you have any other questions or thoughts, we can. seen by this Syrianus, this is a compromised position in the 1800s, that allowed the evolution to become popular. If we look at that theory, the evolution never would have become a popular theory because it would have been resisted by the Christians. But because of the gap theory, which is there might be billions of years between verse 1 and verse 2, therefore, this allowed for the evolutionist to teach it as millions of years old, and the Christians didn't have a good response to it. They just accepted it. Some of the points from this wall that I had hoped that you would say. The main place to die for him against us.
He seems to, one of the ones he sidesteps the fact that, the history of the gap theory itself, he only speaks of the history of when it started to take things out. He just sidesteps it and says it's, that the machine was speaking of it. Thomas Chalmers started teaching gap theory in 1814, when in 1795, James Hutton wrote The Theory of the Earth and really started the strong movement for old age of, for the Earth. Chalmers' writings themselves even speak of the pressure he felt that he had to account for these millions of years in Scripture, and the gap theory was the product of that pressure. And he just sidesteps that whole truth.
Historical evidence of the church ever teaching or believing this until the early 1800s with Thomas Chalmers.
Correct. It is an experiment that says that, apparently we think that no one can learn anything new from Scripture, and he is saying that Chalmers had some extra revelation that the Christians beforehand did not have, and the timing of his teaching is very suspect. Is that a time when millions of years were wanted?
Some general laws discussing with your friends of mine, we'll share the same, I spoke with them, some of the books, and I'm not sure if I have any recommended good work, but they are not strong. King James looks like they are.
That is correct.
They are correct. The King James, I will say, was a copy of Sierra or whatever, you know. Yeah, I was very strong with that. When I said his Bible, everyone else is the Defender's Bible, I put a disclaimer with it. Say, I love this book, there's a lot of good meat here. However, he's wrong about this, or so this. How is he the same with Peter? And I love this word. He's wrong, though. I'm not very out of heaven, it's right. But we're looking at it. So, he says we have a denial of 31 verses of Genesis. What does he mean by that? Do you think you're denying the first 31 verses of Genesis?
No, I guess I understand what he was trying to say in his article. He starts off on one point, and then he really sort of goes off on tangents that they're not very logical. His thought process, his article doesn't seem very logical. He goes from trying to make a point to personally attacking us, and then going back to trying to pin him like a point. It's just very difficult to follow.
It's published, I don't see a publishing date on here, when this came out.
I was just out of
it
too.
Yeah, it was 2002. But then I get it from, I believe there's a bulletin that's called. Anyway, it comes up. Okay. He says, we're down to 31 verses. I think it's pretty obvious. I think there's some obvious truths that he is either totally misunderstanding or denying from Scripture that we cover in the movement. And he misses totally. He says, the denial of this biblical truth, referring to the gap theory, in the book we're examining, is something so precious that is dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ and with any dedication. Let me just cover a few other points. He says he covers 2 Peter chapter 3.
Yes.
And he says, in 2 Peter chapter 3, we got in the book of Leviticus to strongly agree that this is talking about the flood of Noah.
Yes. It has to talk about the flood of Noah. We must realize that it's first person, second Peter, or letters that we're reading to individuals. So if you write a letter to someone and you speak of a subject, you give a context, they know what you're talking about. So when the word flood was used in 2 Peter 3, you must have referred to the flood in his earlier writings to tell them what flood it is. And in 1 Peter 3:20 and 2 Peter 2:5, when the only mentions of the flood in the writings, and both of those speak of the flood of Noah, so there's no reason to believe that this is speaking of anything else.
I'm going to read on page 2 of the Bible, just put it down in the second column of the Bible. He says the first in Revelation 21:1 is not a doctrinal reference to the history of the earth since Genesis 1:1. 2 Peter 3 is a history since Genesis 1:1.
I'm not sure what he was trying to refer to. In our booklet, we cover the concept of the three-earth theory, which was put forth by Clarence Larkin in his great book, Dispositional Truth. Larkin was a gap theory, and he has these elaborate drawings of three earths, the gap earth, the current earth we live on, and then the new earth that God will create, as described in Revelation. And Revelation 21:1 describes the current earth we live on as the first earth. So we mentioned that just to refute and point that the error that Larkin had in his book.
I believe that 303, we say in Revelation 21, says that the first earth is still going to be destroyed.
Thank you.
witnesses in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all the land, because that is absolutely airtight. Lucifer was created during the 6 days of creation. All of the angels were created. As best I can figure out, the angels and Lucifer had to be created on day one or day two. Because one of the foundations of the earth were laid, which I think was day three, that's when all the angels rejoiced from Job chapter 38.
Yes, it's clear to Satan is a son of God, as according to Job 1, chapter 22, and a son of God refers to something that is directly created by God himself. Adam was called the son of God in Luke, and we as saved people have been adopted as sons of God because we are not new creatures. God made us a new creature. We have been a creation of directly by him.
Right. So page 6, second column at the top. This is note, Exodus 20:11 is not a doctrinal statement on the history of creation. If it was, it would be false. There are three evidence after Genesis 1-2. Maybe you read the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 12. They didn't, he says. Well, how did Bible present that in the New Testament many, many times? Probably over 100. And I think I can understand it. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven, that singular heaven. And then he divided it into three slices. The first heaven, where the birds fly, Genesis 1:20. The second heaven, where the stars are, Genesis 1:14, 15, 16. The third heaven, apparently, the second heaven, chapter 12. We cover that in the book. And he says, you know, he took those readers here to read this chapter, read that second of the earth, second ideas, because we didn't. Well, no, no, we did read it. We covered it, and it was very clear. There was no question there are three heavens now. But in Genesis 1:1, it was heaven singular. The same thing is found in Exodus 20, verse 11. And quote that to you again. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven singular. In 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all the land. And there is this Exodus 20:11 written by God with his finger on the rock. He's referring to the creation mentioned in Genesis chapter 1. That breaks his amnesty.
Yes.
Okay, we're just going to have a few minutes on this and then we'll move on to the Lord's verses. Okay, I'm going to break two of his verses. Excellent. Michael told me about the creation science hour. This is Dan Hoban, the man. Dictionaries that look like the word replenish. Christmas. In Genesis chapter 42, Joseph commanded them to fill their sacks with corn. With Joseph's brothers, okay, he said, fill their sacks with corn. Later, the guys came back a year later, and he commanded his children in his house, saying, fill the sacks with corn. Well, he's refilling the sacks. Why didn't he say it would finish? Because he's filling it again. He still said, fill the sacks. Okay. Now, here's a dictionary right in front of me from 1828. American Dictionary, the English language is. Do you see that? The American Dictionary, the English language is a big kind of thing, but what does it mean there? 1828 was replenished to recover from the fullness, as used by Bacon, the author of Francis Bacon, who was the first one that they did at the time, that used the word replenished to be filled again. So in 1828, there were two meanings of the word. The primary definition was filled, the secondary definition was filled again. And I have a dictionary from 1892. And here we have a paper that was there in 1860 and 70. And 1892, Webster's dictionary says, replenish, so has two meanings. To fill up again, and then to fill up again, so they switched. By 1928, the first meaning of the word was fill, the second meaning was fill again. Now by 1892, they're saying, fill again is the primary meaning of the word, and fill is the secondary meaning of the word. Today, many dictionaries only have list fill as the definition of the word. They just say fill again. So it's a matter of how the evolution theory has affected people's thinking. It's influenced the translation of Genesis chapter 1. I think it's got through wrong, because it is a definite in verse 1 and verse 2, and they use the word replenish as an excuse, because the to preserve his word, he did not promise to preserve the English language.
Exactly.
Our language is very corrupt. I tell people that as a kid, it was cool and not hot. I'm getting that happy. I remember just speaking with someone to say, you feel like you're imaginative. I was like, you feel happy. You don't see that today, but you know, you're not going to play. Okay, here it is a brand new kid. I was replenishing the kind of thing around. Oh, yeah. No, yes, okay. I think that's what's happening. He's using the word. Definition of the word replenish from the 20th century dictionary to try to apply to the 16th and change it into another one. This is simply wrong. This is not the way it's done. So, if you have any questions on the gap theory, feel free to call me or call Steve. He's done this extensively at Indiana University.
You can help me at SWWELL.
That's Christina
just, you know,
Creation science power, you know,
Yeah.
answers that are from gentlemen in South Africa. So say your answer is very much appreciated. I do believe I'm in the King James Bible. I should have mentioned that earlier. The problem I found was that there are a few King James versions of the Bible with different titles. Is there a specific one you recommend I should purchase?
They also have different titles. Actually, the notes of who's doing the notes at the bottom. The Bible should be the same. It's just the footnotes in the Schofield has a Bible. Some really good notes in there, and some real serious heresy in the Schofield Bible. The Greek Study Bible has some excellent notes and some heresy. And John and Henry Marsh, the Defender's Bible. Generally, what this is talking about is the King James Bible is their comments. The very best Bible. The King James Bible with all the correct footnotes, all the everything right, is a thing that I'm looking at. I'm looking at about 30 years of that.
So this one that's the most commonly believes is evidence from older, especially geological evidence and fossil evidence. It seems to be part of a lot of his evidence is from evolutionary science, which makes rocks more fossils and fossils more rocks. I just want to know what independent evidence he based the older on. He says, this is Ross says, okay, well, of course you have the biblical evidence of the older.
Sure.
I think he just makes a statement there.
Yeah.
Let's back it up. Now I think you're talking about scientific evidence. Does the Bible say that? Does the Bible teach the earth is millions of years old in Mississippi? Say it's. How does the Bible say the earth is?
I said it in a way that I never heard of it. I said, if you gave the Bible to 5,000 people who have never heard of this argument, I said, read this book, tell me what it says. Everyone would come back and say, this book teaches God made the world in 6 days, and he got up the dates he did about 6,000 years ago for the creation. Dr. Ross said, well, there's a little bit of honor that saw the red of the Bible, and she decided the earth is billions of years old. I said, okay, 4,999, yeah, we'll say it's 6,000 years old, they add up the numbers. So, the Bible does not teach earth is billions of years old, science doesn't either, by the way. Maybe teach it, but they're wrong. Science has scientific evidence for younger, but we don't know.
One of the scientific evidences here that he quotes, he says, quoting him, he says, we know, for example, the difference to the earth cannot be billions of years ago because we have uranium in the crust of the earth. Uranium has a half-life of 4 billion years. So if the earth were 2 years old, there would be no uranium left. The earth cannot be exceptionally young because we don't see any plutonium or
plutonium
in the crust of the earth. These are radioactive elements which were half-lives in the range of 1 million, 10 million years. So, for example, if we have 100 million years, it would still be those radioactive elements left, and we don't see them at all.
This was answered very thoroughly on ICR's website, icr.org, and on answersingenesis.org website. This is something not correct. Because this man is a limited God, it's true that uranium decays to lead. And so, in his thinking, if there's any lead here, it might become uranium. Well, and God just, put lead.
Yeah.
How do you know any lead is a primary element of uranium decay? You don't know that. Nobody knows that.
Most of the uranium decay he's talking about here, he says, has a half life of 4 billion years.
Which is probably correct. I think it's maybe up at the number.
Okay. Any other way, which is a great, if we studied it for not long, I mean, in comparison to 4 billion years, it was a huge,
potassium has a 1.3 billion year half-life, and uranium has a 4 billion year half-life, or carbon has a 5,730 year half-life. Don't argue with them. They're probably bullshit correct. But that's the whole point, though. There's still several assumptions for the beginning of any of these things that are based on. Number one, you know what the original content was,
right?
Nobody does, right? And you know there's always decayed at the same rate. You know there's been no contamination of the sample. You can't have any of that.
Next question that requires Dr. Ross in his answer. I wish to say that most of the geological features were created over hundreds of millions of years. Young Earth creationists say they were formed in Noah's flood. What do you say on that? Hero said, well, it is physically impossible to have all of that stuff happen in just 13 months without killing off the human species. The flood did kill off the human species.
So that was the purpose of the flood, to kill off everything and the humans except for the people on the earth. And it's not physically impossible. In 13 months, this is how it was in the earth, 4.5 months. You can have enormous erosion in the future. You should
sailor built dam, where they had the dam overflowed and across the spillway. We actually had a giant tank in about 20 minutes. I was up there looking at the thing and said, hey, this is awesome. You are Columbus, Georgia. And you speak of your name in Columbus, where they have the state park there down the river. We just compared it to one thing. It's a big, huge state park. It's only road transport. It's 1850 or something.
Did you tell me about
that? Somebody built a shed, and the water ran up from the shed, so it was a belly, which is now a giant belly system all over the city, so it's 1800s. We didn't do the Grand Canyon. It's not the Grand Canyon. It's not even built that. It's a big river that flows up here. The river is the belly of the canyon. So he wrote this as a simple thing. So he was taught as a kid. Each of the layers of the earth is a different age. The geologic element, he believed it. He still believes it. Yeah. That's why he can't have a worldwide flood, because the worldwide flood will wipe out all of this from the geologic element. That's why there's a local flood.
Exactly. He states that in his answer here. He says the text clearly teaches in Genesis 16:9 that a human being survived, and not just human beings, but a lot of animals survived as well. Didn't that just say all that? He's thinking that all over the world these things have been in the nature. That's always based on the misconception that the biblical text teaches a global flood, but in fact, it's really expressing a universal flood. A flood extensive enough to wipe out all of humanity and all of the birds and animals associated with it. So, really, what you have to do is go into the text and say how extensive was the human species. And the statement that the gospel had been heard throughout the entire world clearly didn't mean the Aborigines of Australia. That's his answer.
This is your scene again. God made the statement that the gospel was heard throughout the whole world, and how did he give me the Aborigines? Is he saying the Aborigines aren't human? Or is he saying all alive and the Aborigines happened to the gospel? The Aborigines on page 6 about right after the flood, the ice caps would have been larger, which makes the oceans smaller, which makes everything connected. So if it's truth, I'm for it. If it's error, I'm against it. I'm not anti-heroes. I think if he's right, it's just like, great.